11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. A little bit later on today, 12:30, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going to join us as he gets you set for game two of the ALDS. Reminder for those trying to figure out how everything's going to work tonight with the Monday Night Football and Royals doubleheader, everything going on. So the Royals game will be over on the Fan AM 610. That's where Vern's on deck show. That's where the post game show, everything, the broadcast is going to be on. Tonight at 4 o'clock is when the Chiefs pregame show begins here on 96.5 The Fan FM. So just a heads up for those of you trying to navigate through what is an all-time night. I mean, I know we want the result to make it special, but like, it just going in, it's an all-time night in Kansas City, and we're going to talk more about that in 25 minutes or so. You guys can always interact with us on the Jay Southland Sosa's text line. It's also the call-in line as well, 913-586-7965. So we mentioned injuries, obviously, with this football team right now heading into tonight, and wide receiver room in particular. Have we just assumed that because last year Rashee Rice eventually became the one, that Xavier Worthy is just going to do the same? Because
there's some of that for sure, I think, in the fan base. Yeah,
because I don't think we should assume that. I think
is this an old "you make an ass out of you and me" situation?
I think there's a chance, but man, I'm not sure that he just suddenly becomes the number one or number two production guy in the offense. Number one production is probably Kelsey. Number two, are we sure that's Xavier Worthy? I know we want it to be because he's a rookie. He's fun. Why not? I think, at least for tonight, isn't there a decent chance that the number two guy in production is either Kareem Hunt or, yes, Justin Watson?
Okay, so that...
I'm sorry. Like,
that is a horrible sentence.
I don't think it is. If the team wins, it's not a horrible sentence.
Okay,
it's horrible for your fantasy football team. I'm sorry for those of you.
I don't care about that. I didn't draft any Chiefs.
Not you, but whoever out there. I think there's a chance. It is still week five. And let's be honest, Xavier Worthy's not the route runner that Rashee Rice was already in his career. I think Travis Kelce gets more of those routes tonight. I think we could be sitting here tomorrow saying, wow, number one in production was Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, and Justin Watson.
Okay, so if we're talking total yardage the rest of the season, Travis Kelce is number one with a bullet. Yes. I mean, I don't even think it's a close competition. He might win it by 500 yards. I don't know. Now, total yards is different, right? Because the running back position can obviously garner from both areas of the field, so maybe it's not that big of a blowout. But from the next closest wide receiver perspective, one and two are Kelce, and then, yes, the lead running back of this team, which is now apparently Kareem Hunt, even though he didn't do it. If you made me then guess who is the third most productive player on the team, I would still take Xavier Worthy. Now, I don't think it's a blowout, but the truth is, Sky Moore, Justin Watson, and some of these other, Jared Wiley, Mecole Hardman, I've seen them in this offense when they are complementary pieces, and none of them ever surpass a 400-yard mark, 450-yard mark. Mecole in the early days was doing like 600, but that was a long time ago. So, like, I just think that they've kind of proven their caps. If you made me guess a guy who took the third most total yardage away from Xavier Worthy, I would actually guess Juju Smith-Schuster. I have seen him be a near 1,000-yard receiver for this team in moments like that. And while I think his knee, I don't think, is exploding anymore, whatever Albert Breer's
report,
when he was describing it that way, he has proven to me that at the peak level of his contribution in this offense has been better than the peak level of Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, Sky Moore, et cetera, et cetera. So if I think there's a guy who takes it away, I think after all this, it's Juju Smith-Schuster. If you told me the rest of the way, Juju Smith-Schuster was the third most productive player from an all-yards perspective, all-purpose yards perspective, total yards, whatever, I would say it's him. But I'll actually take Xavier Worthy, because I do think that the deep passing game coupled with Mahomes, they'll find a few. And when you find one for 60 every four games, Gold, that juices up your stats. But if you're saying a game-to-game thing, who they throw out the most? Juju. I think the receiver they throw the most targets to over the next 3 months is Juju Smith-Schuster. That, I mean, I can't. I was not planning on that at any point this year. When they signed him, I thought he was the fifth option. But I think he's now the new number one wide receiver.
I think there's a chance, fast forward a month from now, that Worthy, for example, is more of a factor. I'm just talking about tonight. Who do I think is more likely to have the production? I view Juju and Justin Watson in similar regard, in terms of they both strike me as the guy that is a third down, it's a third and seven. Travis Kelce is not an option. And who do I trust to right at the sticks? Not give me a lot of yards after the catch.
But get where he's supposed to go.
The reason why, yeah, I think Watson right now, I hear you on Juju. You're not wrong at all. A couple years ago, he almost had 1,000 yards. So we never saw that with Justin Watson. Totally true. What is interesting about Justin Watson, when you don't have Hollywood Brown, when you don't have Rashee Rice, somebody else other than Xavier Worthy has to stretch the field. And who is,
and
more
Watson's
most,
been
who's
that
most
guy.
Likely to do that? Someone Watson. Might say Mecole Hardman, but
no,
I agree
it's
with
Justin
you. It's Justin Watson, because we saw it. Last year, Justin Watson ended up with, on I think it was 83 targets or something, 53 catches maybe for 500 or something yards, or 400 and something yards, I'm sorry.
Because they used him for a while while they were waiting for Rashee Rice to catch
I
him.
Think that could be in play
460
tonight.
460 yards on 27 catches last year.
On 53 targets. I had it reversed.
Targets.
Okay.
I was so, like, I don't think he had 80
53 targets,
targets
not 53 catches. Okay. So I could see for a week or two that that's the plan, especially before the bye week. Then bye week, we'll see what Andy magically creates, and all of a sudden it works. But I would go Kelce, Hunt, and then Justin Watson as like who I think are the three biggest production guys this evening.
Are we sure that we shouldn't consider a tight end? Andy Reid tipped his hand. Jody Fortson is back on the active roster.
Okay.
No, look, hold on. I'm not trying to. I'm just saying.
Yes, he might have two catches and a touchdown. That's true. Is he having six catches for 80 yards? Hell no.
I didn't mean him. I just meant they've tipped their hand in the sense that I think they've made it clear they are planning on using some big personnel more than they were planning on using going into the season.
Are we back to 14 or what? 13?
I think it's actually more likely than it was 2 years ago. Uh-huh. They had wide receivers then, Gold. They don't now. And so, I wasn't like all aboard the 13 personnel train at the time that it was being made a huge deal
at
training camp.
One back, three tight ends, one receiver. Let's go, baby.
No, I just think that they'll rotate their tight ends more than we have before, especially in the red zone. So, it could be that their plan is just to use the tight ends more. Yep. And maybe it's not, and I don't think it'll ever be, you don't either, that Xavier Worthy, I don't think the number two guy is going to win the job by a mile. Remember I just said Travis Kelce has it by a long shot? I don't think the second guy in receiving is, I think he's what, 150 ahead of the next guy? There's not going to be some large gap between two and three, three and four at this point. They're just going to spread it around to those guys.
So while we're talking about the tight ends, and I agree, I think there's a chance we see more of them go with that three tight end set, especially in the red zone. Whether it's to benefit in the run game or obviously have all of a sudden get a nice mismatch with Jody Fortson or whether. I'm always cautious. I give you a hard time with this with rookies and like, hey, man, remember they're a rookie and it's
Wiley.
Only week five. Are you surprised, though, that they went out and brought back Jody Fortson, who knows the offense, okay? Knows the offense. They obviously always like
Jody Fortson more.
And yet, yeah, they're basically, I don't want to say leapfrogging, but it kind of feels that. Jared Wiley, I think it's Andy Reid. We just know in this offense how long it takes to earn the trust of the coaching staff. It takes a long time, and maybe Wiley's just not there yet, and that's why we're seeing.
Jared Wiley has one catch for 7 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can joke about Jody Fortson production on the show if we want. It was better than one catch for 7 yards every time he was on the field. He was targeted more than that. Mahomes trusts him more than that. So, no, I'm not surprised.
What are the odds
on, by
the way?
Fourth-round rookies a lot of times.
Look it up. Because Jody Fortson's not having five catches, but could he have one catch in the red zone for a 2-yard touchdown? I'm telling you.
It's never good enough. I'm probably only getting like 8-1 on it any time.
Yeah, if it's 8-1, it's not worth it. Anytime touchdown.
I need like a 15-1.
Here we go.
12-1.
What's your guess? I'm pulling it up.
8-1. I'm guessing anytime touchdowns, they're never
touchdown
good
score. Show all over at FanDuel. I'm scrolling.
I was going to say, is he even on there?
Can you even get him?
He's not on here, guys. Jared Wiley is 23-1. Yeah, they don't even have him listed. Gonna have to wait. They're afraid. They're afraid to put it on the board, you know? They're afraid to put it on the board. They don't know what to do.
They're afraid we're all gonna win money tonight.
Somebody named Bub Means has better. Who's Bub Means? Is that the backup for?
Damn it, you just guaranteed he scores a touchdown tonight five. Somehow.
Who is Bub Means? That's a real person? Mm-hmm. Bub Means. I know Cedric Wilson Jr. only because he played at Boise State. But
Drew, this is
Bub
normally when
Means?
You're like, he played Mac football at
that's banking
whatever school.
Bub Means was he played college football for Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, and Pittsburgh. He's 23. He's 6'1", and yes, Cody, he plays wide receiver. I just never heard of
anybody. I knew he was wide receiver. I didn't know
Bub Means. Okay.
Right. I would have thought for sure that was a fullback's name.
If he gets a touchdown, if he gets a touchdown tonight, yeah.
Bub.
Yeah, man, I'm going to it like because I know you went to FanDuel. I was like, I'll go check another site just to see. I can't get him on. I can't get him on the other two sites I just checked either.
You're not surprised to hear that Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce.
But I can't get Bub Means over there and Jared Wiley or no touchdown score. where someone named Adam Prentice.
That's a tight end.
You said no touchdown score?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Plus 9,000. Only 9-1. Rather bet on a Jared Wiley touchdown.
I'll be honest. That. If you're gonna bet Jared Wiley touchdown, you might as well throw some money on Harrison Butker kicking 8 field goals a game.
Any quarter to be scoreless tonight is plus 270.
Okay, so before the season started, or before the postseason started, sorry, for the Royals, you and I had a conversation because you had some friends and I had some friends, and everybody was like, hey, we all saw Kevin Cash pull his guy in the middle of a no-hitter. Is he gonna go to the bullpen too soon? I'm a little worried about it. He has not had a long leash. I thought the leash was a little too short there on Walker. I actually was more forgiving of the one of Lugo because it just straight up didn't look like Lugo had it. Walker had settled in okay. The walks were still happening, but he had settled in okay. It seemed like he was getting some outs. He has got to let. The last two outings, the bullpen calls are too risky because Zerpa's got to be good, then Schreiber, then, you know, like, he's counting on like 8 of these guys. Like, look, have some confidence in the bullpen. Relax a little. Not that much confidence.
So I think the criticism is fair because the result didn't work. This is why I said there's you can't get too high or too low on how we view a managerial decision in the postseason. Because on Wednesday, he looked like a genius. Wow, you pulled Lugo a little earlier than people thought, and then Angel Zerpa was great, and then everybody else was lights out. The bullpen didn't give up a single run.
It worked.
Then fast forward to Saturday night.
Opposite of words.
He pulls out Walker early. My guess is because he didn't want him to go through a third time against Aaron Judge.
I think it's because the leadoff walk and then Soto again, who just hit a homer off him in the first
inning. And then everybody's critical of it because Zerpa couldn't throw a dang strike. And so both are fair criticism. Like, I think, but that's what I'm saying is, like, I don't think it was this horrendous decision, just like it
not
worked.
Not horrendous, but he's,
it worked 2 days before.
A pattern is starting to develop of getting starters out of the game very early.
All true. I'm just saying that, like, if you're going to be overly critical of it on Saturday, then acknowledge it. Not you. I'm just in general. Then also acknowledge that it worked because the players performed on Wednesday when he did virtually the same thing. Now, every game is different. Every team, all of that should be accounted for. And I'm with you. I told you in the last segment, I think Cole Reagans, if he is not out there in the sixth, and I'll maybe now say the seventh, it is a problem. I don't care if it's the sixth inning and it 2-on with nobody out. There's nobody I'd rather be in there than Cole Reagans, unless you're saying, oh, it's time for Ursek that early in the game.
5 runs.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to have to be he just gets his ass kicked. And then we're having a different conversation, and they're going to the Daniel Lynch version or the, I guess at this point, maybe Brady Singer. We haven't seen him in leverage yet either. We saw Lorenzen in leverage, so maybe they've got some plans for Singer depending on the righty matchup or what might exist in there. It's just all I'm pointing out is overly concerned yet? No. Do I think he, like, failed the bullpen decisions? No, but a pattern is developing. This is now three games they've now put in the postseason. And late in the season, when they need some guys, they have gone shorter with the starting rotation than they ever were in the regular season. In game 121, if Michael Wacha is in that spot, and that game is a score that it is goal, it's 2-2, whatever, 3-2, it's in that spot, and Wacha's in there, and Soto's coming back up, Wacha pitches. Wacha pitches there, man.
I hear you.
That's what got him here, and I know that most of the time in the playoffs, you pull an out or two early. I thought we went into the postseason agreeing that with this rotation, based on how they've won, I don't think that needs to be the full story. I think there needs to be times when you let them go out there and get the job done. Reagan's tonight's probably a good example.
No, I mean, something to keep an eye on. I'll just continue to say, like, if Zerpa throws strikes and produces, we're not having this conversation. Now, maybe we acknowledge it, like, hey, it's interesting, but nobody's freaking out about it. Yeah. I'll point this out, though. A pattern, sure. Two games in a row, I guess that's a pattern. That's fair. I don't think it's three because Reagan's got pulled with 6 shutout innings because he had cramps. I don't think they would have pulled Cole Reagans, and that's why I actually am more confident that they're willing to let him go additional inning this evening because it's Cole Reagans. So reason why Reagans didn't go out for a seventh is because of the cramps. He would have been out there. He was cruising. He was at like 75 pitches or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was under 80.
He was great. I expect them to have a longer leash for Cole Reagans, and it makes sense. They should. I mean, he's earned it.
But Lugo's earned a long leash too, man. I mean, he led this team in innings pitched. He led the majors in innings pitched, I think, or led the American League in innings pitched. Yep. Like, if there's a guy you're going to trust to go deep, typically it would be Lugo. But he didn't let Lugo work out of his own jam, and that time it did pay off, because you're right, Zerpa struck out a guy with the bases loaded. And honestly, I don't think, like, this goes to the balance that you and I think that the best managers have. the best managers have a balance of what the numbers tell you is the right decision and what your gut tells you is the right decision. I had more confidence that Walker could get himself out of a nobody out, runner on first, than the situation Lugo found himself in. That's why I felt better about that early call to the bullpen there. And the truth is, just like any other situation, is if Walker's leash is so short that if he puts one runner on base, he's gone, I'd rather allow the reliever to start the inning clean. Now, that's a personal preference, right? Everybody manages the game a little bit different. But if you know the leash is as short as if this man gets on base, he's never facing Soto, well, then just put Zerpa in with nobody on his own. And look, he didn't have it. He walked a million batters or whatever. But, you know, like, let him start clean. Let him have his own situation versus he walks a guy to start it, and all of a sudden it's two on and nobody out, and it's like, uh-oh, and he's not even responsible for the other guy, but now he's in an even worse spot versus had he just went one, you know, whatever.
913-586-7965. Someone said, surely Cole's getting an IV today. Can we get my man some liquid IV all day today? Can we make sure he's got plenty of the powder packets of the liquid IV? Maybe an actual IV. I don't know.
Pre-game bananas. Just,
you are too damn good as a pitcher to be leaving in the sixth or seventh tonight when you're dealing because you've got cramps. You're too good for that.
We need it.
Liquid IV it up, or an actual IV before the game.
Pedialyte.
Something. Whatever you use, hangover or you're just feeling dehydrated.
Those are related.
Just give me liquid IV all day if I'm Cole Reagans. That's what I want. We get a little lemon lime flavor. Maybe that's your flavor. I don't know which one you like.
You get the liquid IV sometimes?
Sometimes. Well, before I go to Vegas, I'll pack some with me because it's way cheaper than trying to buy that at the hotel. I'll tell you that. At the hotel, that stuff is like gold. I try to charge it $20 for a packet.
You spent like $37 on a tube of sunscreen.
You're welcome, by the way.
We both
needed
it.
We both needed it. You and I are both pale. We were frying. That sunscreen in the gift shop was $29.99. No, it was like $23, I think. But still.
It was the good stuff, though.
It was a good brand. You know? I mean, I didn't come home burnt, did you?
No.
Okay, it worked, you know?
No, can't complain. But this time I'm going to pack some.
I'm just saying, liquid IV, man. Cole Reagans, please. Two outings in the last month where you've been dealing and you've been forced to leave the cramps.
Not tonight.
Can't happen. Can't happen in the Bronx. All right, let's get to the trash.
Trash of the day.
So, we all look at our schedules and like, hey, you know, the schedule, you're too busy to be able to do this. Maybe it's just being able to do errands. Maybe it's your dating life, right? We've talked about my dating life before on the show, and you guys give me a hard time about when.
You can't squeeze a date in tomorrow?
No dates this week.
No football game between baseball games?
No dates this week. It's playoff baseball time.
Show her you care, you know?
So I bring this up because on a Reddit thread, there was a whole conversation about what jobs are most likely to ruin a relationship. See if you guys can text in. What job do you think, 913-586-7965, is most likely to ruin a relationship? It's not a random question of the day, but I want your feedback a little bit here.
Okay.
So here were the responses. Truck drivers was one that was very popular because you're gone a lot. You're on the road. Someone said any 12-hour shift.
Okay, so no nurse, no factory worker, a lot of 12s
there.
You're
working, at the plant or whatever. That's a problem. Someone said bartending. Now, you used to bartend, so you tell me, is that a tricky one?
Nobody wants to date a bartender. They just want to like hang out with a bartender for a few hours after the shift. It's not like because it's a lot of late nights, and they always assume. I think a lot of people don't do that because they're worried. They're, you know, like the jealous types don't want to date a bartender because they think they're like constantly flirting.
Flirting, cheating,
flirting
whatever.
Flirting with men or women, right? You're meeting a lot of people. They're always late nights. Servers always like drink a lot and hang out too late.
Someone on this one said surgeons. I listed them complain about their wives and kids during surgery all the time. So someone else said a friend of mine dated a chef. She now advises anyone who will listen to never date one. She says you never see them. A chef at a restaurant.
Long hours. So the same thing I said about bartenders equally applies to chefs. They don't get to flirt with people, but they like to drink and hang out late. And their hours are always nuts.
Someone said they're on the text line. They're a 38-year, been driving truck for 38 years. 100% legit. They've been an over-the-road trucker for 38 years. They agree. Someone else is undercover cop or DEA. I told you. I mean, we auctioned off the date with me a couple years ago.
Yeah, we did. We should do it again.
We couldn't find any social media presence, and it spooked me.
Turns out she was an FBI
agent. Very nice. She was very nice one day, but she was very nice. But she was an FBI agent.
Where do you think radio host ranks amongst these? Mm. You don't work 12-hour shifts. Great hours. You got great hours overall.
Yes.
Look, tonight you got to like work later than normal. But if she's a sports fan, it's not that she can't be with you in the same. It's not like I won't see my wife.
You gotta have a boundary though.
While I'm watching both of those,
you gotta have a boundary because typically in radio, your personal life is out there on the show too.
You gotta set boundaries early.
Yeah, you gotta set the boundary because some people are way more of an open book
than
others.
They wanna know you got your wife for Mother's Day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like others, you know, like hey, this is something you can't. Like some, your partner might be willing to let you joke about something that happened. You know, some other partner may not.
Yeah. You do have to set a line, I'd say. You just got to decide which things are... Like, if you don't say we shouldn't talk about this on the air, sometimes I do not use my best judgment. I'm not going to pretend like I don't. So maybe that's an issue. But your hours are fine, you know? You don't pay like a doctor or anything. That's probably not...
Someone says, perhaps don't date a stripper. I would agree. That's probably
a
tough one.
It's
a little
too
obvious.
They probably don't... They don't know that they are doing that on the side. You know, that might be a thing that's not... They're not aware of that activity on the side.
How do you feel about MLM? Would you date somebody who was big into the multi-level marketing stuff?
No.
Would you date someone who was like really, really into it? Like that was their main source of income?
I mean, I probably not, but I don't know why. What, do you just fear that they're shady or what?
I mean, it is a pyramid scheme.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you just think they're a shady, dishonest person. Is that what you're getting at or what?
Someone said who you should date is a pharmaceutical rep. Always travel and write off everything. That's not what our former producer's wife did, but it was somewhat similar to that.
They make good money.
She worked in the pharmaceutical industry.
Really,
she got
money
to travel.
That is a good industry.
He got to go to Germany. You know, like I got to go places because of her travel. That's actually, but they're gone a lot. If you're going to date a pharmaceutical rep, you have to enjoy, like the people who travel a lot, you got to enjoy, like, you got to both enjoy alone time a lot for that balance to work.
Someone said, what's the trash of the day? Oh, it was a survey that was out there of dating turnoffs, worst jobs to be in a relationship with. Also on the list. OnlyFans, someone that does OnlyFans, someone as a stand-up comedian was another one.
OnlyFans off the table for you?
I'd be like, what are we doing here?
Making 250 grand a year? That's what they're doing.
Yeah, but if you were dating someone, then you knew on the side they also were putting out videos of them maybe in a sexual manner.
I mean, it's definitely in a sexual manner. That's the way we're describing, but...
Probably a problem. Because then they might ask you to be part of it.
I can't be doing that. Like, just as long as you're like, hey, look, this is off the table for me.
We've had the stories of the teacher that got fired because she had the OnlyFans. Do you think a radio host, knowing our contracts that we signed, do you think if any radio host
get fired
had an OnlyFans and it were sexual content?
No, they wouldn't get fired.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I think they will.
I think you might get fired. Yes.
We can ask Speck in the break.
Now, there's an argument to be made that the story would get your show more attention, but I also think the company wouldn't want you representing them if you were out there putting out sex videos on your OnlyFans.
Yeah, I think that's a no.
Now, if you did it as a joke and a show prank and it was just like your feet, no, you're not going to get fired. But if it was a video of you nude and you're doing certain activities, I think you would be fired. Yes.
I don't think so. I'll have to ask, but I think they'd let you keep your job.
You're going to ask? Go ask the big boss. Hey, just out of curiosity, before my next contract negotiation, can I get it written in there that I can do my OnlyFans stuff?
Like, that's not cause. I don't want that to be the cause for why.
I need a stipulation. I'm allowed to profit off of my body on OnlyFans.
Contract's coming up again, you know?
Yeah.
Always time to renegotiate. Always
make that
time
your
to,
priority.
Always time to work in some clauses and whatnot.
Shannon Sharpe's deal was potentially a fireable offense, and there was...
Let's be real. He's in a different spot than any of us here. You know, he's got a little more leverage. He also could get fired and find another job doing, like, financially he doesn't have the consequences that any of us have if we lose our job. He would be just fine.
I understand, but you didn't see anything. There was nothing to be seen.
No,
so
but there was audio.
There was audio.
Anyway, that's
pretty obvious what was happening.
That's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. How are you handling tonight? It's not just the Chiefs, it's the Royals virtually at the same time. We'll talk about that. We'll take your calls on how you're planning the evening next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but it's fitting today when we have such a great sports day in Kansas City that we mix in the Royals with the Chiefs here, even during
the
Chiefs Red
Half
Hour.
Where's your half Bobby Witt Jr., half Patrick Mahomes jersey?
I know, we joked about
that. Like a parent, you know, that's what you need.
I decided to go throwback, a shirt that barely fits me. It's getting a little too small. It's a long sleeve. Otherwise, it's in decent shape. This is the AL.
Future Cutting Gold Garage Sale shirt.
It could be. It's the AL champion from 2014 long sleeve shirt. I have not bought gear yet from this run. We'll see. The further they go, the more likely it is that I'm going to buy more and more gear. You guys can watch the stream. You already would know that Cody's dressed up like Professor Tap today.
Kept class intact tonight.
If you're watching on the video stream, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook.
I told them we wouldn't go the full length of the
Did you decide ultimately real quick? 5:30 or 6?
I think 5:30. Okay. I think normally we take a break as a class a little after 5, kind of like halfway through, right? So, like, because it's a long class, we usually take, like, a 10-15-minute break.
Yeah.
So I'll just go a little bit longer than the normal break time, and then we'll call it a day.
I do want to open up the phone line. One, I want to just, how are you guys feeling for both teams tonight? But also, how are you navigating this with both games going on at the same time after the Royals start, then ultimately, we know what, 45 minutes later, the Chiefs game starts? 913-586-7965. Tell me how you're doing this. Are you tailgating at Arrowhead and you're just going to have a massive screen set up for the Royals as well? You go into the game, you go into a bar, what's the TV setup? I'm just curious how Kansas City sports fans are handling what is one of the biggest nights, if not the biggest night we've had for both teams in the city's history. We've had Super Bowls and all that, sure. But both teams, one in a playoff, one in a massive Monday night stage, playing at the same time. The only thing that would make this crazier is if they were both in Kansas City. Yeah. Otherwise, this is as big as it gets.
Well, in which case, they wouldn't have been at the same time.
They would have had to move the Royals game earlier.
Yes.
They just would have had
to. Just based on scheduling conflicts alone.
The parking lot. We already know it's a disaster for a Chiefs game.
Can't get in the parking lot anyway. Are you kidding me?
You couldn't do it. You just couldn't do it.
Anyone try to go down I-70 on a Monday night football game? It's already a disaster.
It's already going to
be bad tonight.
Regular
traffic cap? No. 0% chance. They couldn't have scheduled them at the same time. This is, I imagine, the single biggest sporting day in this city for a simultaneous.
Yes.
Remember, we did this in 14. The wild card game and the Monday night football game, they beat the defending Super Bowl champs by 40. Wild card game. That felt like that. Those weren't two separate
games. Yeah, those were not
at the same time. As a reminder, those were not at the same time. One person saying YouTube, TV, multi-view. I have a hard time because the only problem I have with the multi-view, and I do like that it exists, is that it's cutting off part of my screen. I'm not getting the full
effect. Need a bigger
effect.
TV? Sounds like you
it's
need
a pretty good size
sounds
TV,
like you
dude.
Need a bigger TV, because if you're on a smaller screen...
How big of a TV do I need? This one's like 65 or 70 inches. I don't know. It's not a small TV.
I think if you're going to do the YouTube multi-view, you definitely need a bigger TV. You can't be rocking just a 50-inch TV for the multi-view tonight. I don't know if that's suitable. I think you need multiple TVs. I'm planning on going to a sports bar tonight to watch
so
with some other people.
You're just going to go to a bar where the screens are already on to.
That's right. That's right. And now the audio choice, I don't know how they're deciding that. If it's Royals get priority, I would argue, but who knows? Let's go out to the phones, 913-586-7965. How are you handling the games tonight? Heck, if you're a bar owner, I would love to hear how you're handling it at your bar as well. Gage in downtown, you're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, guys. Longtime fan. Thanks for the call. So,
thanks, man.
So I just moved downtown, and thankfully we got like a theater room with multiple TVs and multiple sofas in it. So we'll just put one on each, and I'm sure someone will bring some potluck food, and we're all just going to enjoy the Royals and the Chiefs winning tonight, baby.
There you go. I love it. Gage in downtown talking about how he's planning for tonight. A lot of people on the text line saying, someone said, I feel like I'm in the minority here. Royals game trumps the Chiefs regular season week 5 game. I'm fully invested in the Royals. That'll be the only Royals game that it sounds like that's the only game that they're going to have on.
So I'll be honest, I don't think I'm going to drag a second TV out of a different room to set them up in the same room, like on the fireplace or the floor. My guess is that I'll be Royals on the big TV until the game is over, and the Chiefs are going to have to be on the iPad. Like, I think it's just going to have to be a Chiefs on the... I think they've been downgraded to iPad status for the first... I mean, again, the crossover might be an hour and a half, so I'll miss...
Just put the Chiefs game on the radio, then. How about that?
Oh, and just watch the Royals with no sound?
Reminder, the Chiefs will
be... I did not love the TV call the other day, so that doesn't exactly bother me.
The Chiefs will be on 96.5 The Fan. Pre-game coverage starts at 4. Of course, Mitch, Dane, and Kling, Dan Israel. And then the Royals will be over on The Fan AM, 6:10. Vern's on deck show at, what would that be, 5:30? All right, 5 o'clock? Sorry, 5 o'clock.
How about this person? They say, unfortunately, I have Music Man rehearsal from 6:30 to 10. I'll be sneaking my phone in my script.
Dang. I don't know, man. In this city, just, I'll be, like, if my kid had, I don't know, I think he has soccer practice tonight. Hey, I just cancel it. Are you kidding me?
I think they should.
Just cancel it.
I think they should as
Who
well.
Who the hell's going to come? There's going to be one kid.
What time is the practice supposed to be?
I don't know, like 6:15 to 7:15.
Yeah, that's right. At least with that, though, you're done before the Chiefs game starts. And you're missing three innings.
I mean, playoff baseball is a little slower than the regular season. This a regular season, you'd be missing a lot.
So you think Mahomes will have a Royals update guy on the sideline? No, I do not.
I still think that they'll play, like, if Vinny Pasquantino hits a three-run home run in the second
stadium.
I think they'll play the highlight in stadium.
Oh, they should.
So I think they'll give everyone the chance to react in stadium to those big moments for the Royals.
That'd be smart. I mean, you want to talk about bringing more energy to Arrowhead. If it's a big time hit in the second inning, right when the Chiefs game is about to start or whatever, you want to just talk about amping up the crowd more?
Somebody said, I sold my tickets to tonight's game in order to buy tickets for Wednesday's game for the Royals.
Nice. Wonder how
so
many people
it's just
going
to be a double screened up tonight. You know, I could, is it dark enough earlier? Because I could put one on the projector and one on the TV outside. Out of my screen ports, the projector screen's out there, but there's a TV out there too because you can't see it if it's like daytime. If I get enough evening time, I could technically double screen and not have to move anything.
That's not a bad move. I'll tell you this. If I owned a bar in this city, I think if you have a choice, you're putting audio on for the game. I think Royals game gets audio priority tonight. Unless somehow this game is 7-0 and the Royals are getting killed or something, then you switch to the Chiefs and do the audio. But if it's a close game, Royals to me at your bar gets priority all night.
The crazy thing is like, it's not just that they're playing at the same time. It's that the Chiefs are in the postseason the Royals are in the postseason for the first time in nine years. Last time in the postseason, they won the World Series. And the Chiefs are not just playing on Monday Night Football. They're the two-time defending Super Bowl undefeated champions, right? They're 4-0. They're undefeated, and they are the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. It's that they're both so good at the same time. And I get it. The Royals still might not go on to win the World Series. We don't know yet. Versus, like, in that year, the Royals did go on to win the World Series, and the Chiefs were just a mid-level lose in the second round playoff team, right? They weren't anything outstanding. They were a playoff team, but they weren't like out of this world or anything. Also the same Patriots team later on. This feels like maybe the roles were reversed, except for one of them is two-time defending Super Bowl champion.
Someone, 913-586-7965, someone said they're a high school band director in Olathe. They have their district marching band exhibition tonight, 7 p.m. to 8:30. Said their devices connect to the Wi-Fi at the stadium, and when their group is not performing, they may slip it in the press box. They're going to announce updates for both games between groups.
You just got to cancel everything in the city. Nothing else in the city tonight, but the two sports things.
Hold on, Cody, I have a question based on this other person's text. They said they've canceled their daughter's dance lesson and swim lessons on Wednesday. Go Chiefs, girls. Would you cancel your kids' activities so you could watch
games? Okay, so they have activities tonight. My daughter has dance. My son has soccer. They both end in enough time that they would be able to catch some of it. And because my wife has already agreed to take them, I won't. Because, you know, like, they should know the responsibility of going. But if it were just left to me to get them to those events tonight, they're not going. They're not going to soccer practice. They're not going to dance. Those are canceled. Yes, I'm in agreement there. Because somebody else can take them, and they're not, like, massive, huge sports fans yet. They're starting to get into it more. But because, they can come back and watch the latter half of both of those games.
We're talking about the dilemma that is tonight, having the Royals, of course, at a postseason game at the same time as the Chiefs are playing a Monday Night Football game. How are you handling it? 913-586-7965, the text line. That's also the phone line as well. Listen to this one. Somebody on the text line says they tried to talk their 11-year-old into skipping soccer practice tonight, but she's so by the book, she guilted me into having to go. I'm halfway proud of her and half pissed. What do you do?
I mean, you got
her.
You taught her to keep her commitments. She's got to keep her commitments. I mean, it stinks. But like, I'll just, in the reality, right, of this, Gold, if we do this show for another 10 years, there will be a time when a major sporting event directly conflicts with a major my kid's school play or whatever. And in that case, I'm always going to choose my kid. Hell, we had two watch parties at Jefferson's in Lenexa last week. And one of those days, I had my kid's parent-teacher conferences. I was watching part of that Royals game for, I think it was like an inning and a half, from the parent-teacher conference, right? So, like, out of reality, I chose the kid's thing over the sports thing, and I always will, probably. But yeah, there's like when it's practice, I turn into AI real quick. I'm Allen Iverson. The second we're like, this is practice we're talking about? Not a game. Practice? Then I don't feel like you got to go tonight.
From the 785, someone says, hopefully it's the right text. I'm a bar manager in Lawrence, planning to keep sound on the Royals until it's no longer a game or we win. postseason over regular season. I really think that is, if you own a bar, I think that's what you have to do. I'll just like, if I walk into a bar tonight, I expect the Royals game to have the audio. I just do.
Someone from the 913 said, I'm a 17U baseball coach for guys hunting scholarships. I told the boys we're moving practice to the other place in Olathe for film study.
There you go.
Film study.
There you go. That's smart.
You're going to learn something from this Royals game today.
Someone says, lucky me, I'm a Bengals fan, so just the Royals game. Drew, you're texting. Hey, you can just say that. You'd have to text that in, man.
That from me,
you
man.
You can just tell us. You don't have to text in. You can just, you have a microphone.
Shout out to you. But look, I'm going to be watching the Chiefs game as well, so. And I'm a Bengals fan.
You want to watch a team that can win. I get it.
I'm actually surprised they haven't just canceled soccer practice. There's only like six kids on the team.
What's that?
I said, I'm surprised they haven't canceled my kids' soccer practice. There's only like six kids on the team. Easy enough to just be like.
One practice, you know, you never stacking practices, Cody. Oh. The road to be a to be an academy AC current player or a sporting
that's
AC
like
player.
Less than 1% of all society has a chance to do that. Mitch Kelly over at Kelly's, you know what he said they're doing? He said audio for the Chiefs game on one half of the bar, audio for the Royals game on the other.
Nah,
half
you got
of the
a big
bar.
Enough bar, you can do that.
So
yeah.
you spread like if you only want to listen to the Chiefs one half.
I like that.
You only want to listen to the Royals.
Not every
the other
bar
half.
Can do that though. It depends on you know
TV's
how,
on both
how big the bar sides. Is.
Makes sense.
But that's a smart way to do it if you have a big enough spot to separate it a little bit. You can you can walk over the other area of the bar if you're trying to keep an eye on that. I like that.
All right, we figured it out. So you're going to a bar. You've just decided supply you the multiple TVs.
I watched a game at a bar on Saturday night as well. We had a good time, and even though the Royals didn't win, so some people were wondering if you got to go back to the same spot. Now that they've lost a game in the postseason, everything resets. You do whatever you need to do. Yeah. Everything resets. Yeah. Everything resets. You can go wherever you need to go.
You can, drink a different drink in the sixth inning, whatever it takes kind of to get there.
Last call we'll take on this. We'll get back to this, I'm sure, in the 1 o'clock hour today. 913-586-7965. Royals, Chiefs, both going on tonight. How are you handling that? We go to Josh. He's on Cody and Gold. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, being in Iowa, I don't get the feel of the city, but it'll definitely be a two TV night. I'll do the Royals with the sound, and then once it's over, I'm a big Eli and Peyton guy, so I'll switch that the Royals is over.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and also, hey Drew, are you doing all right today? Or
damn, it just unnecessary shot.
Did you hang up or did he hang up? Did you hang up on him?
No, Josh hung up. First and foremost, shout out to Josh because this is the guy that did Golf with the Producers.
Cody and I were actually—we got bigger things to worry about in this town than a 1-4 football team in Cincinnati. So we've taken it easy on you today. You're not wearing a bright orange hoodie, smart move, and all that. We've tried to take it easy. So that's on the caller. But since it's been brought up for a second, sure. How are you feeling?
I feel okay. Obviously, me personally, I'm great.
About the team, how do you feel about the team?
I slept great last night.
I did not sleep great last night.
Zach Taylor found a way to make the conversation about him more than Lou Anarumo, and it was the whole conversation was the defense is so bad. Lou Anarumo stinks. He should be fired too. How do you get conservative and? Kicked and tried to kick the field goal. Of course, something went wrong in that situation.
Happens to bad
teams. The Bengals lost. They just can't make enough plays late, and it's the defense's fault.
Will the Bengals win 10 games this year, Drew?
10? I'm not willing to say no yet.
Wow, I thought you.
But I'm not. I'm not going to say yes either. I'm not counting them out.
Okay. We're going to talk more about those games in just a little bit.
We will. We will.
Because the AFC had an interesting peek behind the curtain yesterday. Chiefs have a chance to tie the Vikings for the only two teams to start 5-0 this
That's
season.
Right.
After they had kind of a dicey one there at the end in London.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. The other part about tonight's game, too, is Tyrann Mathieu's returning to Kansas City. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, yeah. do you guys care? 913-586-7965. He, to me, is still the second best free agent signing in this franchise's history. There's an argument for first. I will still say Mitchell Schwartz is the best free agent signing. I know it's not as viewed as, you know, because he played offensive lineman versus safety.
And there's a couple of others during some 90s runs that were really good, but, you know, they didn't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, like people mention Montana and things. I'm talking about, let's call it the last 20 years, please. I still think there's a case, honestly, though, Mitchell Schwartz and Tyrann Mathieu are right there in front of the franchise's history. But, yes, if you want to bring up somebody from 1983, go right ahead. That is fine. That is before my time, and you can make that case. But Tyrann Mathieu, I still think when he was cut and not brought back, everybody thought he was done. That was the conversation. Like, he's not the same player. And to his credit, He's playing at a really high level. Have you guys been keeping an eye on how he's playing? He has, I think, multiple picks on the season. He has not fallen off a cliff the way it appeared maybe he was.
This show defended him way more than others.
I've told you, you and I have gone back and forth. I don't want to bring up the Hall of Fame conversation. I still think there's a chance he ends up in the Chiefs Hall of Fame one day. But he
separate conversation.
He changed the entire defensive mindset. He came in with Spags at the same time, shifted the entire culture. There was a great article, a column from Sam McDowell in The Star. I don't know if you caught that over the weekend, talking to other Chiefs players from this current team, how there's a lot of things they still do because of what he did. And I'm not just talking about like how they play. I'm talking about of going on the field early and being the first ones out there kind of thing in the quarterback room and safety room. Like that stuff like that, that he has left with this entire group. Spags is still showing film from Tyrann Mathieu. Like, so he's still a factor. I think it's pretty cool. He was one of my favorite players, frankly, over the last 15 years on the team anyway. I know he's very emotional and at times it got him into trouble on Twitter and things like that.
So what?
But I think that's what made him a great player. So props to, I hope he obviously loses tonight, but props to Tyrann. I know his family, I think, still lives here. His kid, I think, still plays football around the area or whatever. So I think it's cool to have him back. He's someone that was so vital for this turnaround.
For one game, I hope he stinks. But for the rest of his career, obviously, I don't root that for Tyrann Mathieu. If you go back, and we asked this question at the time because Justin Reed and Tyrann Mathieu signed for nearly identical contracts at the time they brought in Justin Reed. We all understood what they did. They thought, aging player, usually you go younger at the position. He didn't have a really good second half of the season his final year in Kansas City, so people were like, maybe the end is near. If you go back and look at that, they should have just given Tyrann Mathieu the contract. He could have been an all-time Chiefs great, and he has played as well as Justin Reed the entire time those two guys have been in the league. But you can't also tell me they made the wrong choice. They're back-to-back Super Bowl champions, right? I mean, it's not like the safety position has cost them important games. It's been the opposite of that. They have had really good play out of Justin Reed on their way to back-to-back championships. So losing Tyrann Mathieu didn't cost me anything. That's why I can, like, years later be like, you know what? It kind of stinks that they moved on from him because I think they would have gotten similar play. I think they still win the back-to-back champ. All those things probably still happen with Tyrann Mathieu here. But I got no ill will to him because he did help. He's a little bit of the James Shields of that era.
Absolutely.
Where defensively, he taught them how to win a little bit. And I didn't feel like they had any kind of swagger or energy or bite to that defense before Tyrann Mathieu got here. And I think when he was here, the defense felt like it had that for a little bit. And I don't want to lose sight of that either just because it was kind of a short tenure here in Kansas
City. I think he set the tone for this entire era of football that we're in. And so he deserves props for that. He's obviously back in Kansas City. Someone pointed out, too, if you look at the most recent tweet from Tyrann Mathieu, is him having, dinner or something with his kids, and his kid is wearing a Royals hat. So he's still involved in the
community. And he made it sound like he still lives in the area or has a house in the area.
I want to say his kid maybe still goes to school here, or at least at least has some ties still to the area. So I think he enjoyed his time. Going back to the initial question, though, of just franchise history, free agent signing, someone said, hey, have you forgot about Priest Holmes? No, I think he's on the list as well. I'm just saying I put, because of the significance to helping win a Super Bowl. I weigh that in more favor for Mitchell Schwartz and Tyrann Mathieu. But of course, Priest Holmes, he's in the conversation. If we're doing our top five, Priest Holmes is absolutely a top five free agent signing in franchise history. No doubt about it.
Of course.
So I didn't forget about him. I would say I just put the Super Bowl weighs very heavily in this conversation, and Tyrann Mathieu directly led to that, and Mitchell Schwartz was part of that as well. He's an offensive lineman, so people probably just are never going to react the same way as a running back or a safety or a wide receiver signing. Not that they've really had a free agent wide receiver signing that's anywhere in this conversation.
You think he'll get a pretty warm greeting?
He should. I hope so.
I think he will, too. Yeah. Look, he might be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Like, we can talk about the Chiefs Hall of Fame. He is on an
all-decade
team. He's on an all-decade team. He is still playing at a high level for decent NFL teams. Like, he's still getting interceptions. When Tyrann Mathieu's entire career shakes out, he'll be a serious contender for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Not like, forget the Chiefs one for a minute. He'll be a serious contender for the Pro Football Hall of Fame after an excellent career. I look back at his years fondly. Yeah, at the end, I felt like you and I did not understand why people were trying to run him out of town. That never made any sense to me. It felt like at least somewhat publicly, the sentiment had shifted on him because he was talking on social media still, and the play wasn't matching the talk at that time, and so people kind of soured on it. But now looking back on it, you're like, no, he just wasn't playing. He was frustrated by his play. He is a vocal player. As a result of that, you heard from him more. Yeah. Like I thought he was a great player when he was here. I think he's still clearly a very good player, maybe a great player. And I hope he enjoys his return to Kansas City up until the kickoff.
Yeah. A unique personality too. I mean, just like not a lot of players where the emotion is rawly as he does, right? And I think that also helped him play. A lot of people in the text line said, hey, what about Frank Clark? If we're being technical, that was a trade, not a free agent signing. So that would be why. But obviously, in terms of overall
trades and franchise
acquisition, he's up there. But that was a free agent signing, not a trade. But yes, no question. Both all these names all factored into the conversation, that is for sure. All right, up next, let's get to what's trending, and then we will get right back into the Royals. One thing that everybody was still talking about throughout the weekend, but there were other issues besides a blown call by MLB Replay's office.